from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.
Welcome to the second half of episode 45 in the 2024 Steve Chong Show, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. There will be more SFU Athletics commentary, a feature on the SFU Red Leafs hockey, with the background and latest on the Surrey Police transition. Here are the current women's basketball standings in the Great Northwest Athletic Conference. Much like men's, no intra-conference games have been played as of yet in the GNAC women's basketball. Central Washington is first at 4-0, much like St. Martin's. Alaska Anchorage are in a three-way tie for third with Montana State Billings and Simon Fraser with 6-1 overall records each. Alaska Fairbanks 6-4-1. Northwest Nazarene 7th, 3-2. Western Oregon 8th at 2-2. Western Washington 9th, 2-3. And Sierra Pacific are last at 1-6. Once again, no intra-conference games have been played as of yet within GNAC women's basketball.
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. Simon Fraser University, the 1960s. In the earliest days of SFU, a renegade unlicensed radio station begins broadcasting around campus. 1974. Volunteers established the Simon Fraser Campus Radio Society, which operates CJSF to this day. 1985. The station obtains a cable license, bringing CJSF to a wider audience. And we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.
Welcome back. First music in the second half is the third act of the hour, Elkhorn's Utter Worlds. The tune is From Beyond the Space. We'll be right back. That was From Beyond the Space from Elkhorn's Outer Worlds. Now I'd like to feature the SFU Red Leafs hockey at this time. On November 16th, the Red Leafs BCIHL team visited the Okanagan Lakers at MNPI Center in Kelowna, BC. The hosts earned their first power play 1:19 into the game as Max Lightfoot was penalized for slashing, and Okanagan opened the scoring at 3:06 as Kyle Ford beat Lachlan Abel for Ford's third tally of the season. But SFU tied a game late in the first as Alec Pettingill scored his first on Jaden Little with 5:59 left in the first as the host Lakers outshot the Red Leafs 15-4 in the first. Parker Konecki restored Okanagan's one-goal edge 8:57 into the second, his second of the season on SFU's Lachlan Abel as the Red Leafs outshot the hosts 12-10 in the second. Okanagan went up 3-1 on Parker Konecki's second of the night with 7:32 left in the third, followed by Brandon Gallo's third with 3:39 left in regulation, both on SFU's Lachlan Abel, who surrendered 4 goals on 40 shots, while Abel's counterpart Jaden Little stopped 24 of 25 shots, as the Lakers quad damaged the BCIHL Red Leafs 4-1, where the hosts outshot the visitors 40-25 at MNP Center in Kelowna, BC. Yesterday, SFU did a reach out to the Burnaby main campus, I believe on Facebook, along with Twitter, which I'm looking at, where the last picture indicated that the team plays at Bill Copeland Sports Center, only a few minutes away from the campus, actually. It's probably a 15 to 20 minute ride on bus 144. Tonight sees the SFU BCIHL Red Leafs on Vancouver Island as they play the UVic Vikes with the puck drop in Ian Stewart Complex at 7:30 p.m.
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. During the 80s and the 90s, CJSF would come into its own as a serious platform for independent artists and a forum for people to express ideas not present in the mainstream media. Summer 2002, CJSF receives a license from the Canadian Radio Telecommunications Commission to broadcast over the FM airwaves. February 13th, 2003, 7 p.m. CJSF goes on air at 90.1 FM, and we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.
Here are the current standings in the British Columbia Intercollegiate Hockey League. Vancouver Island University are first at 6-0-1, 13 points. University of Victoria are second at 6-2-1, 13 points. 2 points are awarded for a win with 1 point for an OT or shootout loss. The Logan Lake Miners are third at 3-4-1, one OT loss, 7 points. Sam and Fraser are fourth at 3-4, 6 points. And the Okanagan Lakers are last at 2-5-2, 6 points.
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca. If you're a regular listener of this show or other shows on CJSF, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us about what you like and why you like it, as well as ways we can improve our programming. To leave comments, please email cjsfprog@sfu.ca or call 778-782-4423. This information can also be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. It had been the most polarizing topic in Surrey for the last 6 years. The then Mayor Doug McCallum pursued the Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15, 2022. But Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General at the time, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19, 2023. However, Locke's fight did not end right away, as her two petitions against the BC NDP government for a judicial review and being forced to continue with the SPS was rejected on May 23, 2024, followed by her acceptance of the court's decision on June 10th, and culminated by an agreement between the BC NDP government and Surrey City on July 10th, according to a BC government news release. Surrey will receive $30 million a year to 2029, when a financial guarantee of up to $20 million if the SPS salaries are higher than the RCMP may kick in and continue until 2034 for a total of up to $250 million. Surrey will fully support the transition to the SPS and not impose a police tax in the next decade. In addition, according to the BC government news release, the SPB budget, originally requested at $141.5 million, fits within Surrey's financial budget and will hire 526 officers by the end of 2024, 67% of all Surrey Police officers. All of this week's developments were from X. On November 16th, Jazz Dillon, former BC Lion and current SPS officer, carried a Grey Cup into the CFLAA luncheon during the Grey Cup Festival in downtown Vancouver. One day later, the Toronto Argonauts defeated the Winnipeg Blue Bombers 41-24 for the Grey Cup. On November 18th, Gary Begg, the Surrey Guilford MLA, who was a former Surrey RCMP officer, replaced Mike Farnworth as BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, when the SPS also tweeted that 9/11 is for immediate threats to person or property, and the Surrey City Council voted to lease 10 city-owned properties to the SPS as it prepares to become Surrey's police jurisdiction in 11 days. According to Tom Zaterik of Surrey Now Leader, where the leases will be for 5 years, which can be renewed for another 5 years, according to the November 18th Surrey City Corporate Report. On November 19th, the SPS provided a short video of their training of experienced officers just 10 days before the SPS becomes Surrey's place of jurisdiction on November 29th. On November 20th, the SPS tweeted there are several spots left for their next recruitment session on December 17th. Also on November 20th, Surrey Crime Prevention Society tweeted four pictures of a Coffee with a Cop event this week where the SPS and ICBC participated. On November 21st, the SPS tweeted that its headquarters and five community offices will remain where they are, even when it becomes Surrey's place of jurisdiction on November 29th. Today, the SPS Chief Norm Lipinski spoke to Kerry Adams, the anchor of CTV Morning Live Vancouver. And I will play the clip now. The video's loading, so sorry for some technical difficulties.
For healthy gut flora, three nutrients for you every day. With Activia 3 benefits, it starts inside.
They reported a shipment of cocaine stolen 2 weeks ago.
We all have our vices, detective.
Oh, you find that surprising?
Dust, noise, and lowlifes.
Bloody hell. In 1 week's time, the city of Surrey will see a major change to its policing when the SPS becomes Surrey's police of jurisdiction, taking the reins from the RCMP. It will be the first time in more than 70 years that Surrey residents will have their own municipal force. Joining us now in studio to talk about the transition is Chief Constable Norm Lipinski of the Surrey Police Service. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Welcome. It's great to be here.
This must be one of the situations where you imagined you would be in this position much sooner than you have been.
Well, it's taken a long time, as we know. This started in 2018. Mm-hmm. And so here we are. We're a week away, and we're just ramping up to really launch it. And everything is coming into play.
You must feel pretty excited at this point.
Very excited. I think our employees are excited. I've been out into the community. They're looking to see us more and more as we take over Surrey. We're very excited.
So let's paint a picture for what this actually looks like, because up until now, the RCMP has been the police of jurisdiction and the SPCF has been sort of assisting the last period of time. And as of next week, a week today, I believe, is when the roles will switch. So how does that look for citizens who are watching this unfold?
Yes, first I have to say that nothing changes from the perspective of phone numbers and the same buildings and so forth. The Surrey Police Service will become the police of jurisdiction. So we will be in charge of public safety in Surrey. The RCMP will switch to a supportive role, and they're going to be still there for a couple of years until they scale down and we continue to hire and scale up. So we will be out in the community. We will be more or less concentrated on the western side of Surrey. The RCMP will be on the eastern side. We will have programs throughout Surrey. A lot of our crime prevention programs will be SPS crime prevention programs, right into the community and working with our stakeholders, our partners, and so forth. So that starts at midnight on November 29th, and it's very, very exciting.
Indeed. So you have, and correct me if I'm wrong on these numbers, but I got these are the latest, I believe. You have 446 officers right now.
That's correct.
That's what you've hired so far. You need 785 to fully take over from the RCMP. You can't do that until you reach those numbers. There are other police jurisdictions, Vancouver Police, for example, mm-hmm. they are recruiting officers. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a short supply, but you're basically competing against other police services for personnel. Do you see that being a challenge to try to reach your goal of having a full takeover of the city of Surrey?
Policing across Canada, there's a challenge in recruiting. We have a little bit of an advantage because we're brand new and people are attracted to coming to something brand new and building something from the ground up. And so we have two streams of recruiting. The first stream is brand new recruits that go to the Justice Institute of BC. We have no problem in recruiting that way. We have a long lineup of applicants. Most of these young people come right from Surrey. Then we have the stream of experienced officers. Obviously, we need a lot of experienced officers, investigators, supervisors, leaders, and so forth. And we hire them from across Canada, most of them from BC. And right now, in the municipal policing environment in BC, there's a lot of movement between agencies. And some go to the RCMP, some from the RCMP come to us or go to other organizations. So just like any competitive businesses, there is movement of employees, and they do it for a variety of reasons.
Do you see a timeline, though, when you'll get enough police officers in place? Do you see a timeline here?
We're looking for probably between 2 and 3 years when we will be completed this.
Okay.
We want to take our time. We don't want to rush things. We want to have this transition go smoothly, carefully, and so far it's going in that direction. You have to keep in mind when the RCMP moved to other jurisdictions, sometimes they have to take their families, and it takes a bit. It takes a time to plan all that. So we have to allow for that.
Lots to consider. It hasn't been smooth so far. I mean, we have to address the elephant in the room here. It's been a contentious issue with the Surrey Police Service coming in between the police and the city of Surrey, in particular, Mayor Brenda Locke. What does that relationship, that working relationship, look like for you going forward?
We've certainly had the political issues in the past, and we had legal issues in the past. But now what we have is certainty. And I think that's very important. That is that on November 29th, we are police of jurisdiction, and that the SPS will be the police for the citizens of Surrey. We put that past now because now there's that certainty. So the politics aside, we put the legal issues aside. Everybody's focused on building the best service we can.
Have you had a meeting with Mayor Brenda Locke?
I've spoken to her a number of times, different social events and so forth. I've had a meeting with the police board and Mayor Locke and council. We're moving ahead. We want to build the best policing service we can.
What is the top issue for the Surrey Police Service with public safety in the city of Surrey?
When we go out to the community and I speak at various events, it's the youth making proper decisions and the gang issue and the violence. And I'm taking in a lot of information and I'm excited to work with the community because it's a shared responsibility. Mm-hmm. Public safety is a shared responsibility, and dealing with the youth and dealing with the gang issue is so, so important.
Yeah, that's a top priority for sure. Well, 1 week from today, the Surrey Police Service will be the police of jurisdiction in the city of Surrey. Chief Constable Norm Lipinski, thank you so much for joining us in studio. Appreciate you coming in.
Good to see you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
That was the SPS Chief, Lauren Lipinski, with Kerry Adams, the anchor of CTB Morning Live, Vancouver. Thank you, CTB, for the video clip. Also, the Surrey Police Board released their meeting agenda today for their next week's meeting. The numbers are up to last month. So the number of police officers a little bit less than what the Chief Lauren Lipinski said in the CTB video clip. Currently, up to October. The numbers are up to October. Just looking through the PDF file here. 141 million dollars and $141.5 million have been authorized. As of October 31st, 2024, $111,778,926 have been spent. That was the forecast actually. Year to date actual was $77,109,398 out of $141,511,053 provincial budget. These are for how many? 441 sworn members, 60 permanent regular civilians and 7 temporary civilians, 508 employees as of October 31st. Year to date, the SPS has spent $69.15 million on employee salaries, benefits, and board remuneration. That's the Surrey Police Board. Thank you for listening to episode 45 of the Steve Chong Show, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it is Voice of the North. Now to the last tune before 4. It's Cat Pack's self-titled album with The Talk. Yeah.
Thank you.